Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
Great. I'm glad we've set aside some time to intentionally talk about one of our favorite topics. Today, we're going to
Yes.
dive into the value and importance of community and connections. And I think that the intersectionality of all that is going to be fun today, exploring
I
how we
totally.
built what we built and who we are and all of those things. Yeah.
I think it's actually good timing to talk about community too, because as you know, I've been feeling like very, very busy and probably a little bit overcommitted and just feeling the pressures of work and I need to draw on community. I need to draw on my little community and my little village to draw some strength. So it's actually really good timing to talk about this. And you know what else? Especially on the heels of Black History Month, today is February 28th here. We only have one more day left of Black History Month. It's been a busy one and an outpouring of energy to the Black community and from the Black community. So yeah, it's been an interesting month. So I'm hoping I'm going to feel replenished talking with you as I always do, and talking about our connections out there.
Maybe it's worth exploring again, like our connection, right? Like we are connected on in different kinds of circles. Like we started off being connected as moms, right? Like I have a kid and you have a kid, and they're in the same class. And then we got connected in a different kind of way, where I was an employee and you were on a board. Right? And then we got connected in other ways where we knew each other in our part of the city. And we would go for walk sometimes, and we would be connected in terms of, community, neighborhood type events, being out in the world together. And then sort of mutually supporting one another through parenting and through working out in the world. Yeah. And then slowly, ever so slowly, working towards being partners in business, which of course was my sneaky plan all along.
Yes, but we have we've been together in a lot of communities, which has been great. And that's how we got to know each other, but also that's how we got to really appreciate the our base value system and how they connect. I think for me, the pivotal time for me around connecting with you was when we were on sort of opposite sides of the community board. Like we were part of a school community that was closing down very unexpectedly, and I was part of the board, and you were part of the parent community that was trying to save the school and save the community. And so it to the outside lens, it appeared like we were really on opposite ends of the issue, but really I knew the whole time that despite it appearing like we the whole issue was at conflict with us, for you and I it wasn't. We were wanting to get through the whole ordeal with grace and compassion for everyone, with respect for differing opinions. I always knew that even if I was holding the line of what the board needed, that you knew that I was doing it with the utmost compassion for the people that it affected, and vice versa, that you were trying to save the community and work with the community to make sure that they were as respectful of us as board members, as people, not just monsters trying to, wreck the community or take away something that they really needed. And so there was always that mutual sort of respect, and I really felt, even in those times, very cared for and very seen by you. And that's what sort of clinched it for me. I'm like, okay.
And it's a skill that we both valued then, which is many years ago, over 10 years ago that happened, right? Before we were in this period in society where we talk a lot about polarity, like we talk about it way more now, right? And we live on the edge of it, it seems, all the time. You can be so quickly at odds with just about anybody, right? The person who delivers your packages, the neighbor, someone at the grocery store. Like things can get hot so fast, it seems, these days. And thinking back, 10 years ago, it was both of our shared value to be able to agree to disagree and still care. And of course, there are some issues where we can't agree to disagree, right? There would be some issues in the world where where it compromises my values to agree to disagree, right? There are some places I can't do that. But where I can do that, I've actually found some of the most interesting growth for myself in terms of understanding different perspectives, how to relate to people, understanding my own privilege in communities, my own assumptions, the biases that I bring, when I allow myself to really hear the people that I don't agree with. Again, not on all issues, but where I could practice that, it's really been so valuable. And I've ended up with some really meaningful connections and some really meaningful growth for having that sort of willingness to be uncomfortable. And yeah, and to be on a different side from someone else, or be doing things differently. Yeah, than someone else.
I think that whole experience about being uncomfortable taught me that I could survive it, and that and taught me that you too could survive it. And that's really important to me, to surround myself with people who know they can weather a storm. Just watching your grace do that. That was great. And so because we both grew from that situation and other things that happened in our lives and together, I think that's why our values are so strong. And that and I think that's what made us pull our vision together and our mission and all of that stuff. We wanted to do more of that. We wanted to learn and grow together. That's, and our and from extension, our vision is to build a way so people can actually learn how to grow through change. Because we experience that together, we know it's possible.
And that we know it happens in different ways, which I think is the sort of one of the underlying features of our business model, right? Is that we're going to surround ourselves with different types of clients, different types of work, different types of practitioners who are going to shape us ideally. Ideally, we will be different. From when we start, from where we've started, we're already different. And yet, you have to have like a deep security in your own sense of self and your own values in order to be shaped. And it's one of the elements of working with groups that I really love, is that idea of, especially in a group that is high conflict. So this is me wearing my facilitation hat now. And groups that have high conflict, this idea of radical hospitality, or being able to be in a space that is held mutually by both parties in the conflict for the purpose of trying to grow through it and come out the other side. Like there can be an intentionality around, well, we're going to have to work something out. And if we have that intentionality, that we're going to have to work something out, we're going to have to go on this journey together. If people can also be affirmed in who they are or what their strengths are, and that we need those strengths at the table in order to affirm, it seems to like take the edge off some of the differences. It's not that the differences go away, but it's a strength-based approach, right? If we can agree that we want to be in this community together, or we're in this group together, we want to get to the other side. Okay, what strengths do we have? And we're sort of validating the strengths and diversity that people bring to the table. It's just kind of magically the differences there. It's not that they disappear, but they're not so cutting.
Yeah.
Right? When we take that really hard, you know, well, I'm here, but I don't know if we're going to solve it. And, you know, well, I'll give you, you know, I'll give you 20 minutes. You know, it's like that radical hospitality, that willing to hold the space radically and keep at it, working through the problem, or working through the conflict, or working towards the goal from different perspectives. I find that really, really compelling. That's where the real growth happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right on the edge, right on the living edge of the issue, and right where you tend to shine. I love that every time we facilitate together, I get to see that and how you support all of us to name the elephant in the room, or name the issue that isn't being spoken of, who's not there, all those contradiction things that Leslie likes to bring out, because and you do that by, like, you know, helping us to set the rules of engagement, or, you know, set up a brave space, all of those good things that you practices that I get to watch you do, but bring us to where we need to be on that edge of, okay, what is it we aren't saying, what is the real issue, and what is it that we really both think and feel about those things. You're really, really skilled at, and I love watching. But another thing that we tend to see with community and community building that I watch us do together is that we give them, we encourage people to really take the space, really own the space, and lean into the fact that they have their own opinions, and those must be expressed. And I truly appreciate that, because that's how I feel true community building happens, is when they lean into what it is their own, their thoughts and feelings about an issue, and how listening to themselves about what their opinions are, and being okay with uncomfortable, as you mentioned, and the differences, but really leaning into listening to what their true opinion is. That takes a little bit of courage, not only for the facilitator to like stir the pot to do that, but for the participants to do that, and not just even in a facilitated situation, but in a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know,
or I'm thinking when we did some collaborative work as practitioners supporting our family.
Yes,
right, creating a family session that lasted a couple of hours with different components in it that allowed different aspects of the strengths of each of the family members to come forward and the group to reflect on it. But then also for there to be times where this is where we're going to say we don't agree.
Yeah.
This is the time to say, but that's not what it's like for me, or, but I want to do it differently. And creating space for that to happen, and different ways for that to bubble up, for the different developmental levels we have, in the family system. So, it's funny that I was thinking more of watching you do that work in the social work context with a family, and that really speaks to the heart of why we invest time in people and in intentional systems, or intentional, like systems isn't the right word, intentional communities, like spending time to build community.
Yeah.
And whether that's three people, right? What's a community? How many do you have to have a community, right? And actually,
yep.
Probably not that many. And then all the different communities intersect.
It starts with two.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with two, because you can't be a community of one, unfortunately. You need more beings, more, you know, souls. And so, you know, some of us carry more than one soul in us, and that is a bit of a community, but mostly we need other people. So it like takes two, and then when those two figure out, oh yeah, I like that thing, or I see some commonality, then it spins off and it grows. So yay. Do you feel like there's been times though that we haven't been connected? Not, I mean, you and I, although every relationship has its moments, but do you feel like as an entity, we haven't been as connected as we needed to be to other things, to other people?
Well, I can certainly see the benefit, maybe like the before and after, if I compare the difference between us deciding to engage in a community entrepreneurship program,
mm-hmm.
To become connected with a local co-working space, to practice taking up space in a new community, learning to talk to different people, learning to listen for no other purpose other than you simply cross paths the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and exploring. So that sort of spontaneous connections, or the ones you didn't necessarily plan, you didn't know were coming.
Yeah.
So I don't think the word networking does it justice.
I
see networking as very transactional. It's, you know, community building isn't always, it isn't transactional in its best sense. It's sort of presence making and being connected with one another. In the moment, and you never know what that's going to bring. You never know.
I think there's an element too of acknowledging the value of the other person or people within the community or within the person that you're interacting with and want to become. There has to be a desire to know and to be curious, but also to acknowledge the value that they are presenting. So yes, I like what you're saying about, yes, there's being present and in the moment and taking full benefit of crossing paths. There's also that acknowledgement that I see you, that I want to hear about what it is that you're offering, and what it is that your value proposition, or what it is that you are offering to the world, and taking that in and receiving it. You know, I think that's part of community building. And I also think that there's an aspect of wanting to grow together. There's absolutely, I know it sounds trite, but if you are you're trying to connect with somebody, you're trying to find the commonalities so that both of you or all of you in the community that can then get the next step together, whatever that is. So there's that growth, that spark piece of growth piece that I really like.
And I think that's what makes it different from transaction, like a networking transaction. And mm-hmm. I know, especially in our entrepreneurship journey, you know, we've learned a lot about different ways of networking, right? Different approaches, different tools, different technology, different opportunities. And I think we've been most successful when we're in situations where you're genuinely happening upon another person.
Yep.
So some of my most famous, famous is not the right word. most like appreciated moments are ones that I didn't necessarily see coming, right? It wasn't that I stood in that space with that speech ready, right, to try and network somebody. It's that I like decaf coffee and someone else likes decaf coffee and I made a pot and then we were talking about the decaf coffee and then we were talking about other things. And then we were building a relationship and then we were being curious. And then we were talking about what we do and what we care about. And then I was starting to think about things I care about from that person's perspective. Right. And as soon as I can get to that place, that's where it starts to change me. Right. I become better able to understand how I could describe what our business does from different perspectives. I could connect better with how I talk about the work that I do in terms of helping people learn new things or helping groups achieve the goals before them. I get better at telling my story the more people I engage with and listen to as I tell my story and I'm interacting with them. That's what helps me see it. And it's not transactional because I'm trying to get something from them, right? I'm not trying to get the lead. I'm not trying to get a client. I'm not trying to get anything other than an experience that will hopefully shape the next experience, shape me in the next experience. Yeah.
Well, I have to say that there's another element that I really think is important, and that is because of the work that I do, and that is the healing aspect. So as we talk about you and I connection and connecting for the sake of connecting, not for anything transactional, I truly believe that in connection there is healing. And because I do so much work in loss and grief and trauma, the balance of knowing what is true healing for me, what is true moments of grief, and how do we collectively mourn all of those things, really important to me. So one of the things I like to hear from people that we interact with is, "Oh, wow, that was fun," or, "Oh, it was great to meet you. You've opened my eyes," and you can see that little wedge of, "Oh, that was different," or, "That was interesting." And I'm not tooting on our own horn, Aisha. Honestly, it does happen a lot, right, Leslie, where people say, "Oh, thank you. I'm glad you came around." And that is because I think we're both always trying to look for just moments where people can breathe together and reflect intelligently on their own thoughts. We are always looking to expand and make that space, that brave space, for people to be who they are, so we can connect to that true person, to their true ideas. And really, we love it when we can get to that curious part. Both of us just enjoy that. And that is that moment of transformation that you and I love so much. I think, I watch you too. I can see your eyes glow up when we feel that. And that is like the foundational part of the work we do. That moment of curiosity and playfulness and joy is the moment we strike with transformation. The aha.
I
Don't you
had a,
feel like, don't you feel?
yeah, and I was thinking about the different ways that that's expressed. So I was thinking about a new teenager client that I took on to do some educational consulting with, and the mom sent me a message after I had sort of my initial relationship building time with this teenager, and then it, the way the teenager described it. The mom, she's like a grown-up who cares, but like she just wants to help.
Oh,
What? And I had to think because there's a lot of grown-ups who care. This is not a kid who is lacking grown-ups who are invested in their life and in their outcomes. But for them, there's a difference between caring and then just like that way, just
That's
She
beautiful.
wanted
You
to
just
help.
want to help.
Like,
Yes.
just, I imagine it like a little fairy. I just want someone to come and clean up the dishes.
Right.
Not do that. That would be quite miraculous. So I just loved the way that teenager was able to describe that magic that we had together, which was that we connected. I could see them. They could be honest with me about what they were struggling with. We could talk about some possible plans. They could feel like it wasn't going to be extra work or more burden. There wasn't going to be more nagging. That they felt lighter. It's like a
And
grown
that,
up.
right?
Who cares?
Is that even possible? Wow, right? But that is wonderful. That teen could see that, and exactly that is your magic. That is amazing. I had a similar thing. I haven't told you this one yet. At the Black Youth Forum with all those teens, from across Ottawa, coming together to do some studies around Black history and culture and all of that. Such a great program for the Ottawa District School Board. They were doing an assignment to figure out who were some of the Black leaders, but they were only given pictures. They weren't given names. So they were given some pictures of Black leaders in the States and then later Black leaders in Canada. And so they were like, oh my God, I can't believe I only know like two people on this big collage of paper. And so we were trying to figure out together, like, 60 youth trying to figure out together who are these people and why would they be important? And I'm like, I knew some of the names because obviously I'm older, they haven't been exposed. So I said, I kind of made a game of it with them. I said, I'll tell you one name if you tell me another name. And I'd go around to each table of group and they're like, oh, okay, well, why don't you just tell us? I'm like, no, I'll tell you one if you tell me one that I don't already know. And it made it sort of fun in a game. And one of the kids came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for helping the tables. And what she said to me, kind of like, oh yeah, that's why I'm here. I really like this. She said, you made it fun and you made it possible. She said that. You made it fun and you made it possible. And I'm like, yeah, I just wanted to have fun with all of you, right? And together, the whole room of us figured out who all 12 of those names were. And we're able to carry on. And so just that little, it was heartwarming to know that I was helpful, but to watch it in action, how to spread that kind of interest and excitement over something that seemed almost impossible at the beginning, and have them at the end realize, oh yeah, we can do this. And not only that, we can do it together. Like, that's the stuff right there, and that is community building to me.
And it makes me long for moments when I'm in community and it's not, that's not happening. And I'm not always the person who has the resources or the energy, or it's not always appropriate for me to be the person, sprinkling that magic dust, right? And trying to, if I'm in a really transactional environment, and that's the status quo. And that's what people are expecting. And you can't sprinkle dust over a mag magically over a board meeting and turn it into something that people are not expecting. Like at the drop of a hat, you respect the conventions, right, of the group you're with. But I do long for it when it's not there. And it makes me very, I won't say leery, but very reflective when I realize that I'm in one of the situations. It makes me think, okay, not that I made a wrong choice. I got here usually because I did have a connection with somebody. right? I usually join, I'm a joiner because I've connected with somebody, and then I can connect with everybody and realize, oh wait, what I was experiencing with that person is unique to us, but it's not something that's part of the whole group.
Yes.
And makes me very reflective about how do I discern when it's appropriate for me to be in some of those groups and when I should maybe be more strategic about the kind
that's
of
why
time
I
and
asked that.
energy I spend.
That's why I asked that question earlier about not being properly connected. Like, are there times when you felt like, oh, this, what I'm wanting to convey is not reaching the people, or what they're trying to give me is not anything that I need or want, or I just don't connect. I can think of times that's happened to me, but I wondered, you know, now that you're like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, some volunteer, you know, situations or parent conversations, you know.
I try and frame it for myself in two ways.
Yeah.
One is, you know, do they want me? Like, do they want a warm body? Like, are they looking for anybody?
Right.
Or do they want me?
Yeah.
And I try and practice talking about that when people are asking me maybe to join things or do things, or I ask that of myself when it seems like maybe it's something I might be interested in. Can I bring my whole self to that situation?
Yeah.
Even though I might be different in values or different in perspectives than the other people, will I have to hide that? Or can I bring it all to the community? And if I can bring it my all, then all who I am, and I'm not just a warm body, then I can tolerate a lot of difference. You know, I can tell, and it's not tolerating difference, but like different goals or different ways of working or different processes. Like I can tolerate a lot if I feel like I can bring my whole self. And when I show up, people see me. Like, even if they say, oh yes, Leslie, we know if you were running this meeting, we'd already be, you know, playing with the cards that have emojis on them to tell everybody how our day was before we got down to business. You know, we know if you were running the meeting, that's what we'd be doing, but you're not running the meeting, so we're not doing that tonight. But, you know, but to be seen that's who I am and that's what I would bring, that really matters. And then the second piece that really matters is for me is asking myself, what is my work? Because there's no shortage of work to do in all our communities, right? In our families, in our volunteer work, in our faith communities, like in all different places in society, there's no shortage of work. Okay, so what is the work that is my work to do? The work that if I do it, it will make a difference, not just because it's done, but because I did it.
Yeah.
And that is a really growing edge for me because I tend to be a doer. I feel pretty good when I'm getting things done, I'm doing things. But actually, it's a pretty slippery slope if you're not in community where you're seen and valued and you're not able to bring your whole self. And then if on top of it all, you're working really hard to get things done, you know, it tends to be a bit of a recipe for disengagement ultimately, or burnout, or feeling resentful or taken advantage of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like I understand what you mean by community and what I mean by community. Any other questions you have for me?
I'm wondering if there's a community you used to be connected to that you're not connected to so much anymore, but you maybe still long for it. Or there's like maybe the new, there's going to be a rebirth somehow maybe, but you're kind of disconnected right now. Is that a reasonable type of thing to think about?
No, I feel like I'm connected to what I want to be connected to. There's nothing missing that I'm longing for, community-wise, you know? Like, we could have a whole other hour-long conversation about solitude. That is more what I'm longing for these days than more connections.
Woo.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but no, I, you know, and in this day and age and stage of my life, I feel like I now have a handle on where I want to be, what I fulfill, and what I need to be fulfilled, and pretty much feeling it, other than a little extra time for myself. So let's have the next, you know, another conversation about solitude. All
That's
right.
great. I need to always think more about that.
Yes.
Thanks, Danielle.
You're welcome. Thanks for spending time again with me. Have a good one. Bye.